Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name is Jonathan, and I am here with Scott and Amy, and this is our semi-final matchup with our listener tournament. Hey guys, how are you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Jonathan?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm glad to have you guys here. You've kind of had a long road here. What's it been like so far as people who have won two games each in this tournament?
I'm farther than I thought I'd be, so whatever happens today, I'll be happy. It's been fun.
So it's all gravy for Amy, is what I just heard her say.
That's right. If I go home today, there's no shame in it.
Everybody who lost before this should be ashamed, is what I just heard.
No, that's not what I meant.
Scott, what's it been like for you?
100% in the same boat. I didn't think I'd make it this far. My goal was to get out of the first round just so I wouldn't have to hear it from my buddies on my trivia team here at home. But yeah, same thing as Amy said. If I go home today, so be it. But it's been a fun ride. And again, thank you for putting all this together. This is super.
Well, I'm glad to have done it. I got to tell you, Scott, what's funny about your first round matchup is that I put you up against Nick, who's really good, and he's been giving me a hard time ever since. Because,
really?
Yeah, he keeps telling me, I would have won that episode. But he didn't beat you. He didn't realize he was going up against a buzzsaw.
I think
that was the one I couldn't win, but it was, I think, Jeff, I would have smoked. I had them handily even going into the final round. I couldn't have lost. But
yeah.
I think yours was tough for me.
That was a fun episode to listen to, the Jeff and Jeff episode. That was just... It seemed like they just couldn't get out of each other's way.
So today's show is sponsored by Loot Crate. We really appreciate the people over at Loot Crate. They have a great product. A lot of geeks, a lot of nerds out there love the stuff that they're doing. And you'll hear an advertisement and a code on how you can save money on Loot Crate in the middle of the show. So be sure to stay tuned for that. All right, guys. I think it's time to warm it up, Chris.
What up, Chris?
Your question today is about worldwide earnings at the box office. Specifically, I got a kick out of how much money Deadpool has made already. Are you both familiar with the movie Deadpool?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Seen it twice kind of. Already. So, yeah.
Okay.
So, Scott's seen it twice. Amy, have you seen it?
I have not seen it. I know who stars in it. That's it.
Oh, yeah. Of course you do. The heartthrob, Ryan Reynolds.
That's partly why.
Let's be honest. So Deadpool, I'm not going to tell you exactly how much it's earned, but I looked yesterday at its worldwide earnings, and what I'm going to do is name a bunch of different movies, and you have to tell me if they have earned more or less than Deadpool in the worldwide box office as of yesterday's numbers. Hey guys, this is Jonathan interrupting Warm It Up Chris at the very beginning from the future. That's right, I'm recording this in the future. Well, it's the future now based on when this was recorded. Anyway, it's all very confusing. The point is, as I was editing this, I realized I didn't give you a point of reference in terms of the date that I looked up this information on Deadpool. So I'm breaking into this podcast to let you know that the date I looked up the Deadpool worldwide earnings at the box office was March 11th. So when you're thinking about what it's earned, think about it in terms of March 11th. All right, good luck. And now back to your previously scheduled podcast.
We're going to start with Forrest Gump. Did Forrest Gump make more money?
And we're on a team. And we're doing the team again?
Yes, you're working together. You will be, I don't know who your opponents are yet.
And this is unadjusted numbers, right?
These are not adjusted numbers.
It seems to me the last time I saw anything on Deadpool, it was just over $500 million. So wow. I think our line is going to be just around to over $500 million. So the question is, in 1994, did Forrest Gump make more than $500 million?
Just doesn't seem to have the worldwide...
It was a big movie.
It's not,
yeah,
but it's
I don't
not
know if
like,
it's half a
it's
billion.
Not, it's not a geek movie, which makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, I could go under. Sounds like you're wanting to go under.
I think it's under, but again, I'm not good with the numbers of how
Let's
much
go under. Why not?
Okay, so you're saying it earned less than Deadpool?
Yes.
It has earned less than Deadpool. Good job.
Yay!
Good call. Good job.
All right, movie number two is the Twilight Saga Eclipse. Did Twilight Eclipse earn more or less than Deadpool so far?
Which one is that?
I have no idea which one
Twilight,
that is.
I think.
It's one of the ones with a vampire in it.
Yes,
oh,
I know
yeah,
that.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That one.
That's all
Eclipse,
I know about it.
I think
it.
It's the middle one. I want to say it's the middle one. I think.
So there's like New
Dawn
Moon,
or
right?
Something
there's
is
New
the
Moon.
Last one.
Yeah, there's New Moon. There's.
There's Eclipse. And
it's
something about Dawn.
Is it Breaking Dawn? Is it
Breaking Dawn?
Breaking Dawn, that's it. Yeah, it's the last one.
Look at
one.
Me with my knowledge there.
And you're proud of knowing.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Twilight. That's why I'm proud.
Yeah, right. Okay, really. Jonathan, are you
Harry Potter
yeah.
right now?
No, I'm a Harry Potter guy. I'm not a you're, Twilight guy.
So. You can admit. Are you Team Edward or Team Jacob?
I'm Team Hunger Games.
Oh, there you go.
At least okay. for the first book. The second one was the third one was worse.
This is the second movie. I don't think the third movie did as well. I think people were just kind of done with it. Cause it
yeah. I think
again, it's worldwide, too. I don't know whether it had a huge appeal. I mean, we have, you know, Edward Pattinson. You know, it's got some draw. It's about game theory, too. Will he put two or three under out of the gate?
Yeah.
It has girl appeal more than
right.
dude appeal. So
yeah,
it,
and those are the ones who come back and watch a movie, yeah.
So do you think more or less?
I think less again, but
I could go less again, too, so.
It's more.
More? How much more?
I don't know. I didn't write down the numbers.
Yeah. Okay.
This is a warm it up, Chris, question. This isn't, I'm not working too hard on these.
Sorry about that. I just didn't think it had the draw.
Okay, your next movie, Up. Did Up make more or less?
Those animated movies.
I think it's more because every parent took their kids.
Yeah, let's go Up for Up.
I think it's more because I think it's just a charming movie that everybody, it's got appeal.
Yeah, let's go more.
It's more.
There we go.
It is more.
Good job. Okay, your next movie, Man of Steel.
See, I thought Man of Steel was a bit of a flop, but even a flop would do well.
It
in that genre.
Probably comes, yeah, and it probably
and
comes down to how strong was the first weekend. It's going to have a big weekend whether it sucks or it doesn't suck.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this one's an up too. Because it came out strong and then it petered out, but it's got a worldwide appeal to it. It's Superman.
So
it's
you
coming
say
out in a couple weeks.
You say more?
I say more. I could be vetoed, though.
Amy?
No, I'm
okay.
fine with it. I don't, right. like I said.
Cool.
The answer is less.
Oh, man.
It made less. It's not a lot less either. Deadpool jumped over it, I think, maybe probably a week ago.
Okay.
The next one is Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl.
That's the first one.
I think the first movie's going to... Again, I think the first one's out of the gate. People, it's got Johnny Depp, which is a bankable star, is going to make money right out of the gate.
Yeah.
And the curiosity factor... I think it's more.
I think it's more. I think it just had a big. It had a big draw. I'll go more too. Yeah, say more.
Less.
Less. All right. Well.
Of course, it's less. All right.
All right. The next one is The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2.
Mockingjay is the fourth one.
That's the fourth one.
We didn't see the fourth one at all. But again, the last one, people might rally and say, "I gotta see it through."
Right.
Yeah.
I know it didn't do the business it was expecting to do, but it still might have done well enough. So we said more twice and been wrong twice. Game theory says that we've got a hit on this one, but
and how long has Deadpool been out? And how long you know was Mockingjay in the theaters? Do you know how long?
Deadpool's released February 12th.
Okay, so about a month. Talking a month. Versus the whole time that Mockingjay was out. I don't know
right.
if it was out more than a... The question is, did it come and go within a month, too?
Yeah, I could see that. I could see it being like a six-week release. Want to go three in a row here?
Sure.
All right. More?
It's less.
Of course it's less. Of course
whatever.
It's less.
Whatever.
I've got you wrapped around my fingers at this
hilarious
point.
Hilarious.
Okay. A few more. Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
I know of the prequels, I think it did the worst. I think 1 and 3 were the big ones of the prequels.
Yeah.
But I still think it did well. Still think it did well. I think it, for a while, it was in, like, the top 15.
I think it's less, but which means that it's more, and Jonathan's going to just giggle. But, like, if half the geeks that lined up for it liked it, they would have gone back a couple times, too, right?
Yeah, I agree.
And we've said more. We've said more a bunch of times. It's been less. It doesn't matter. If we say more, if we just keep, again, it's
just keep going, it's got to hit,
it's circling C on the SATs.
Exactly. Eventually you're going to hit. Okay.
All right,
let's go more.
Less.
This is going to be fun to listen to, isn't it?
This is
going
to
be fun. I've got you right where I want you. The next movie is Shrek Forever After.
Shrek Forever After. I didn't even, that's the last one of the series, too, I think. So
yeah.
I think it's less, but again, that's five lesses in a row.
I could go less on that one because I don't remember that movie at all. So
yeah, I think it's less.
Okay, we'll go less.
But if it's more, I swear.
It's more.
It is more.
It is more.
Now, that's not our fault. That is stupid people going to that's the
The next one is Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted.
Shrek was more.
Shrek was
Madagascar,
more.
Madagascar, I also thought sucked. I think that that one was more as well then, which means it's less.
It's, you know what, we're past the point of rescue on this. Let's just,
right.
Yeah, let's go more.
It's kids and they like that stupid humor.
Yeah.
So you're going more?
Yeah.
Sure.
You are correct. It is more.
Yeah.
Hey, a Pyrrhic victory here.
Right.
For the for people who are paying attention, they need to realize that that means Madagascar 3 also earned more than Man of Steel and Pirates of the Caribbean. All right, the last one. The Incredibles.
Snakes on a Plane? Oh.
The Incredibles.
People love this movie. I did not care for it. Seriously.
I don't know how well it did in the box office, though. I remember a lot of people watching on video after it had a run. But, again, kids' movie, I could be talked into either one here.
Did all of the kids' movies in this and all the animated up was more? Madagascar was more. Shrek was more because I wanted to reach through and strangle someone who saw it. Is this going to be the one that's less?
Yeah, is this the exception? Let's go less. Why not?
Okay.
Less.
You figured me out at the end. It was less.
All right.
It took you a while, but you finally broke my pattern.
So what
we got? Combo breaker.
You got four correct. You got Forrest Gump, Up, Madagascar, and The Incredibles.
All right.
Four out of what, 10?
Sure.
Yes, 4 out of 10.
So what was the number of Deadpool?
I think it's 650.
Yeah, I knew it was a little north of half a billion.
Yeah.
So.
All right, let's go ahead and get rolling here. Your first category is entertainers. Question is, what person won substantial damages from the BBC in May of 1975 over a program linking him to the mafia?
I have an answer. So I'm locked in.
Okay.
May of 1975, the best answer I can come up with, especially with the dates and everything, Frank Sinatra.
Okay.
That's exactly who I locked in with, because there's just all kinds of rumors that he was linked to the mafia, that he had,
Well, I'm pretty sure that the reason he was linked to the mafia is because on this show they linked him to the mafia.
Sweet.
Because the answer was Frank Sinatra.
Yay.
All right.
Good start.
Good thing I locked in, man. I was about to talk myself out of it.
There you go. Okay, round two. Your category is presidential faux pas. This is a bit of a long question, so follow along. The title track of the first CD ever released in the U.S. caused embarrassment in President Ronald Reagan's re-election campaign when his staff thought it endorsed American pride. What was the song?
Okay, I'm locked in.
I am too.
Oh,
this could be.
Well, let's do a 3-2-1 here.
Okay.
I don't know.
Oh, you're scared? Are you scared?
I'm a little scared.
Oh, my gosh.
I went into this saying I was scared, so that's not a... all right, we'll do a 3-2-1, because, you know...
Okay. Oh, okay, you're the man up.
All
right. Okay.
It may be... After all that, it's probably going to be me that's wrong. All right, all right, ready?
Three, two, one. Born in the USA.
Yes, born in the USA is correct.
All right. He thought that was going to be a different question. I thought that was going to be about Genesis, Land of Confusion.
Oh, yeah? Oh, Ronald Reagan, the video.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Okay, you both got the first two right. Category number three is television. What two TV shows in the 80s featured a character named Uncle Jesse?
I'm plucked in.
All right, I know Dukes of Hazzard. The question is, was Full House an 80s show or a 90s show? You know what? I can't come up with anything better, so I'm going to say Dukes of Hazzard and Full House.
Well, that's exactly what I said, too.
You both said Dukes of Hazzard and Full House?
Yeah.
Dukes of Hazzard and Full House.
Correct answers are Dukes of Hazzard and Full House.
All right. Very cool.
It is.
I will sadly admit that I have seen all the episodes of Fuller House.
No, you haven't.
Seriously?
I have.
How have you? Wow.
What do you mean?
Where do you find the time?
I'm bored. Huh? I watch a lot of television.
Oh my gosh, I watched 10 minutes of that and was just like, no.
It's not good. I didn't say it was good.
But you watched all of it.
I did. I just did. My. I get sucked in and I'm just like, I have to complete it.
Well, hopefully you guys find some time in your TV watching to read books, because your next category is literature.
All right.
Literature.
This is a tri-bond.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to name three books, and I need you to tell me what author wrote all three. The books are Freckle Juice, Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing, and Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
I'm in.
I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure it's Judy Blume. So I'll go Judy.
Yeah, it's totally Judy Blume.
That's your 10-year-old wheelhouse, Amy?
That is my 10-year-old wheelhouse.
The answer is Judy Blume.
All right.
After four rounds, it is 40-40. And obviously, either you guys, we've separated the wheat from the chaff, because I thought I might need to make these questions easier last night, but you guys are obviously up to the challenge. All right, your next category is movies. What 1980s movie used a record 294,000 extras, mostly for a 2-minute funeral scene?
I am having trouble with this one. I don't know about you, Scott, but I'm having trouble.
Yeah, I've got a... want to write it down... Yeah, okay.
Oh, well, this is going to separate the wheat from the chaff, because I cannot even think of anything with a funeral scene. I'm trying to remember anything with a funeral scene. So you're locked in, right?
Yeah, I'm locked in, yeah.
I'm trying to remember a funeral scene. I have one that has a funeral scene, but there were not 294,000 extras at this funeral scene. There's no way. Because it wasn't a small movie, but it was about, I'm thinking Heathers, but that's the only one I can think of that has funeral scenes, but that's not right. So I'm going to miss this question. Gosh, I have no idea. 294,000 extras. I'm really struggling with this. Dang. Oh, it's movies. I should be better at this. I think Malcolm X was after that. Screw it. I'm going to go with Malcolm X anyway, because that's the only big... I can't remember an... It's probably an Elvis movie about Elvis. It's probably a biopic about somebody. I'm going with Malcolm X.
Okay, so Amy says Malcolm X. Scott, what do you think?
I think Malcolm X was either 92 or 93.
Yeah, I think it was 92.
But I just total guess here, just from the population, is what made me think it might be Gandhi.
Oh, Gandhi!
The correct answer in this case is Gandhi.
Good job, Scott.
And you, like I said, it was a guess, but...
The logic you used was great there, because exactly right.
Some public figure that people were, you know, coming through.
Yep.
Gandhi, and I saw Gandhi, too.
Round six is geography.
Oh, good. And we're...
Geography is Amy's favorite category, Scott.
Oh, good.
And I mean that facetiously. What bird gives its name to a group of Spanish islands?
No idea.
I have some written down, but I have less than a lot of faith in it.
I wrote something down, and I think it's, like, not even anywhere near Spain. And I don't think it's a bird either, so. Do I have to go first because he's locked in?
Yes, you actually are in the middle of answering right now.
Shoot, I don't know. God, I cannot even think of a Spanish island. I said Galapagos, even though I don't think that's right. That's okay. Where the turtles are, right?
Amy says Galapagos.
I don't even know if this is a set of islands, but I just went flamenco because it sounded Spanish, so
the
why not?
Flamenco Islands, okay.
The Flamenco Islands, yeah.
I hope it's something I've never heard of.
I'm pretty certain that you've heard of these, but remember, I was asking for the bird, not the islands.
Oh.
The answer is the Canary.
Oh, the Canary Islands, of course.
But they're not, but no, wait a minute. They're named after a dog or something. They're not named after
I don't
after
care
the
what they're named after. They.
Oh, that's
the,
right.
I
that's
didn't say they're
said.
Named after.
It's a trip question. Boo. That's right, but they are named after
that's funny.
Canis. Ugh. Yes, Canary Islands. Okay.
So the answer was the Canary.
Yep.
All right, so we both missed that one.
Yep.
The score after six rounds
40.
Is 60 to 40.
No.
It's 50-40. I missed 40. That one too,
don't so. Give him extra
50
point.
To 40, like I said.
You're a very nice guy, but I can't give you extra points.
Okay, round number 7 is in music. What do the songs Center Field by John Fogerty, We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel, and Vogue by Madonna have in common?
I think I've got it. Yeah.
Shoot! No idea. Again, he's smoking me. Forget it.
You're only down by 10. Quit your whining.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'm locked in.
All right.
I'm wondering if it's DiMaggio or something. No, couldn't be DiMaggio in Vogue, though. Oh, Marilyn Monroe. I think it's a famous person in common. I don't know what Center Field had anybody famous. Because Vogue was all famous people. Gosh, it's got to be. I think it's someone famous because there's famous people in. But I don't know if there's anybody famous in Center Field. I can hear them all. I'm just saying Marilyn Monroe anyway. Because she was married to DiMaggio. And she might have been in. I can't remember all the people in We Didn't Start the Fire. And I know she would, I'm almost positive she was in Vogue. So I'm going to say Marilyn Monroe's in all three.
So you're saying Marilyn Monroe is in all three.
Yes.
Mr. Barber, what did you say?
I think you had it right to start with. I think it was Joe DiMaggio because in Vogue, she does say Dietrich and DiMaggio.
She does. Crap.
So, and I know DiMaggio's in the other two, so I'm going to go Joe DiMaggio.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I was right.
And Joe DiMaggio played in Center Field. So the answer is
darn
they
it.
All mentioned Joe DiMaggio.
Yep.
Okay, Scott pulling ahead.
Scott is just slaying.
He's a
the
beast.
Yeah, he is.
Let's see what he knows about inventions.
All right.
Round 8. German engineer Arthur Scherbius. I'll spell that for you. S-C-H-E-R-B-I-U-S. Scherbius. Invented the first of what machines used extensively in World War II?
No idea. Again, I'm not liking this. I'm running away. I take back what I said. Winning
matters
here.
Now?
Losing here is going to suck. It's going to happen.
Can you repeat the question one more time, please?
I can. German engineer Arthur Scherbius invented the first of what machines used extensively in World War II.
I'm going to lock in just so I don't have to talk it out.
First to invent a machine used extensive... What machines? Machines were used? I don't know. I'm thinking... I'm going to say tank.
Okay.
I'm going to guess tank.
Scott says tank.
That's a good answer, because I was in the world of transportation, too. The first thing that came to my mind was jeeps.
So, it's neither a tank nor a jeep.
Okay. Oh, good. Yay! I didn't lose ground. Woo!
If you think of a machine used extensively in World War II, you might come across a machine used to code messages. Like the Enigma machine.
Like the Enigma. The Enigma.
The Enigma machine is what was invented by Arthur Sherbius.
I saw that movie. It was actually good.
Interesting.
All right. The Enigma machine is correct. After eight rounds, it is, looks like 60 to 40. Category 9 is science.
Oh, science.
So pathetic.
I might have done it, but man...
But I'm losing, so I'm not going to do it.
I'm taking my ball and go. I'm taking my frisbee.
All right, your science question. A project by a group of scientists in New South Wales to revive an extinct Australian frog was named after what biblical figure?
I'm locked in.
Scott is already locked in.
Wonderful. This is voting very well for me. My first instinct was Methuselah, because he was older than dirt. But, like, the reviving thing makes me think it's Jesus. However, that seems very sacrilegious, so I don't think they would do that. Maybe Moses. Frogs. I'm going with Moses, and I reject all your biblical questions, man. Because you gave me...
this is actually a science question.
No. I'm going with Moses because of the plagues.
Okay, Scott, what did you say?
Well, the clue revive is what I hung on, and for that reason I said Lazarus.
Oh, see?
The correct answer is Lazarus.
Yeah, I protest this one.
You can't protest that. Pop culture has Lazarus all over the place in terms of revivals.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You're going to protest this next category, too.
Okay.
Round 10, your category is sports.
Comic books.
Sports. Your sports question. Ricky Rubio plays for what NBA team that also happens to have the longest active postseason drought, sitting at 11 seasons?
I'm locked in.
Oh, lovely. He's Marco's brother. He plays for the Heat. No, the Heat has won.
Marco's brother. I just got that. That's funny.
Marco's brother, Ricky.
Ricky Rubio?
Ricky Rubio plays for what NBA team that also happens to have the longest active postseason drought at 11 seasons?
It's not the Warriors, obviously. It's not the Lakers. It's not the Celtics. But I do not know my NBA at all. I don't like the NBA. I like it less now.
she likes Trivial Warfare less now, too.
Well, that's right. Going dark. It's probably somewhere in the middle of the country. I have no idea. So I'm going to go with the... Screw it, I'm going with the Celtics anyway, just because I don't remember the last time they won.
And for the record, it's a nice little jab at Boston, which I don't mind at all. Okay. Scott, what's the answer?
Well, the Boston Celtics did make the playoffs last year. But I have the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, no!
It's in the middle of the country. It's one of the teams that she didn't know.
My husband's going to kill me.
It is the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Shoot!
Is he like Minnesota?
You did that to me on purpose, didn't you?
No, what do you have to do with Minnesota?
My husband's from Minnesota. I should have picked that.
Is he really?
Oh, no.
Trivial Warfare, starting battles between husbands and wives for 2 years.
Oh, man. Gosh.
Oh, he would have known Ricky Rubio, too. He would have been all over the first half of that question.
He might have. He's not a NBA fan either, but I think he knows Timberwolves enough.
All right, so going into the final question. Scott, you have 80. Amy, you have 40. Your category is pseudonyms. I want you to write down your wager and circle it.
Okay, I'll bet.
All right,
anyway.
Do you have your wager written down, Amy?
I do.
All right, so you both have your wagers. Here's the question. I'm going to give you the names of four real authors.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to tell me what their pseudonym was. Their well-known pseudonym. Here we go. Your authors are Stephen King, Charles Dickens, William Sidney Porter, and Hector Hugh Munro.
That's their real names.
Those are their real names. I will repeat them. Stephen King, Charles Dickens, William Sidney Porter, and Hector Hugh Munro. While you guys are thinking, I want to say thank you to James and John Bell, as well as Jeff Bim. Some of the questions in this episode were contributed by them. Yes, some of those guys helped me with the questions here. So thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Okay, I'm locked in.
All right, Scott's got his stuff written down.
He's running away. I don't know any of them, and I don't have a good guess for any of them. Stephen King, I can't stand, so I don't know. I'm crying uncle, and I'm going home with a goose egg.
Oh, no!
No, and I bet it all, so I'm going home with nothing.
Thanks for taking the drama out of that, Amy.
Sorry!
Amy is crying uncle, Scott.
All right.
What did you say?
For Stephen King, I had Richard Bachman.
Okay.
And the rest of them I didn't know. So for Charles Dickens, I have Anthony Tharpe. For William Sidney Porter, I have Brad Mills. And for Hector Hugh Munro, I have Jamie Gumb, because those are three of my core members of my trivia team, and they'll be psyched.
Oh, because, hey, I don't know who the hell those are.
Yeah, those guys will be psyched that they hear this on the podcast. So hi to the rest of my team.
I have to admit, as soon as you got to the second name, I thought to myself, he's just doing shout-outs right now, because these
That's
aren't
exactly
authors.
Right. No idea. So I was just like, and since I bet zero, I figured it didn't really matter anyway. So
here we go. The correct answers are Richard Bachman for Stephen King. Charles Dickens in the early days wrote under the pseudonym Boz. If you'll remember,
B-O-Z,
he had a piece of work called Sketches by Boz. William Sidney Porter is much better known as O. Henry.
Henry. No! Oh, Henry got me again. Didn't he? Wasn't he?
The Gift of the Magi?
Gift of the Magi.
Yes.
Magi, yeah.
Yeah.
You really need to study him. And lastly, Hector Hugh Munro is better known as Saki.
Who?
Saki.
I don't even know who that is.
So for the record, Scott, you've won the game 80-0. You are,
I mean that. I totally mean that.
Wow.
You are going to the finals.
I was scared of Jeff. I was scared of you. I wanted to beat Nick Zuberling just to get out first round. So my hat's off to everybody I've played so far. And just in shock I've even made finals. So.
You've gone through quite a gauntlet here.
It's been tough.
Yeah.
It's been tough.
I'm very impressed. I think you're going to do great. That is the end of this half of the episode. Thank you so much, Scott. Thank you so much, Amy. I really appreciate you guys participating. And before we go on to the second half of the episode, I want to talk to you about Loot Crate. And the theme for April is Quest. That's right, Quest. This month's Loot Crate box is going to have four exclusive items, as well as the monthly t-shirt and pin. And let me tell you, brand names this month, there's going to be something in there from Harry Potter, Vikings, Uncharted 4, and a wearable celebrating David Bowie from the Labyrinth. That's right, there's going to be something Labyrinth related from David Bowie in there that you can wear. Also, I want to tell you before I move on, I want to tell you about Loot Crate DX. That's right, DX. So what happened here is that when I told you guys that we were being sponsored by Loot Crate, quite a few of you said, well, that's awesome, but I already have Loot Crate. I can't really get it again. And so I went over to the guys at Loot Crate and I said, hey, this is a story. What's up? What can we do? And they told me that they were releasing a special new subscription for a box called the Loot Crate DX. This is an expanded box. So these subscriptions for Loot Crate DX are $50 a month. The value is that they are going to deliver over $100 worth of stuff each month. And this month, with the Quest theme, they're going to have stuff from Adventure Time. They're going to have stuff from Legend of Zelda. And they're going to have stuff from World of Warcraft. So if you already have a subscription, but you want to take it to the next level, Be sure to check out Loot Crate DX, and if you haven't subscribed yet, this is a great month to start a normal subscription to get some awesome merch celebrating David Bowie and Labyrinth. Okay, guys, you know what to do. Go to lootcrate.com/TWA and use the TWA coupon code to get a discount off of your first month. Hope you guys enjoy it. All right, guys, welcome back to the second half of the semifinal episode. In the second half game, we have Chris E. versus Russ Friedwald. And, guys, you've made it to the semifinals. How's this experience been for you?
Nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. As far as I don't know who's going to be the next opponent sometimes, because I, you know, not to go behind the scenes too much, but I almost taped about a month ago was my last episode.
Yes.
So it's been a while. So I've been waiting to, you know, find out who I was going to go up with.
You should have seen Bob's wait. Bob, who's actually sitting in the background behind me here. Mm-hmm. Bob was the first show to record, and he finally recorded his second show today.
Wow.
So he recorded his first episode like 2 weeks before the tournament actually started.
Wow.
He's been waiting that long to lose to Russ. Okay. All right, guys. We're going to hit our warm it up Chris question. What up, Chris? And this is a fun one. I love this one. I went and looked at Deadpool's worldwide earnings so far. Are you familiar with the movie Deadpool?
Just saw it last week.
Okay. Yes. Chris, you say yes as well. So I went and looked at its worldwide earnings, and I compared it to other movies. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to name a bunch of different movies, and I want you to tell me if they earned more or less than Deadpool so far at the worldwide box office. Okay, your first movie is Forrest Gump.
Are we?
Do you have an idea how much Deadpool's made so far?
Deadpool is probably up around... it's got to be over 200 million, right?
I think it's around 300. It's a mess. So. And Jonathan's talking about worldwide. So you typically... You typically would just want to double that number.
Half a billion.
Okay.
Go 500 million.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so I think Forrest Gump was not a good movie. I'm surprised it won the Oscar that year.
Oh! Tom Hanks is over there in his house like, hey, what did I do?
Yeah. He's fine. My opinion of him does not matter one bit. I feel like that was an American movie, and worldwide it didn't do that well. That's my guess. So I think Deadpool's done more.
Based on your reasoning as it being an American movie, I think that's why. I think Deadpool's probably beating Forrest Gump.
Yeah, because that was that was 94, so that's 22 years ago.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So you guys are saying less?
Less, yeah.
Correct answer is less than Deadpool. Good job.
Nice.
All right, the next movie, The Twilight Saga Eclipse.
What? And that was like the third one, right? New Moon. I did not watch any of these.
I think Eclipse was the two-part Near to Die. I'm not an 18-year-old teenage girl.
But you play one on TV. You're very talented.
These are, you know, obviously based on the books, which were popular. So, unfortunately, I think it probably did more.
Okay, let's go with that. Because I have no expertise on the Twilight movies.
Correct answer? More. Good job. You got the first two. You know, I should have told you how many your opponents got. Your opponents only got four right.
Okay, good.
All right, so you're off to a good start. The next movie is Up. Did Up make more or less than Deadpool?
That's got to be more, right?
Pixar. I think so. Yeah.
So you're saying more?
Let's go with
yes.
More, yeah.
More is correct. Look at you guys on a roll.
Pixar's always dumb.
The next one is Man of Steel.
Man of Steel. As I recall, this was kind of a flop at the box office. I would be inclined to say less.
Yeah, I'm with you there too. I feel like it had a good first weekend, and that word of mouth spread, and nobody else saw it after that.
Right.
I'm going to say less.
Yeah, let's say less.
Correct answer is Less.
Nice. Well, there's our four.
I am impressed right now. Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl.
There's another franchise I'm not really into.
That's the first one. Yeah. I think that was pretty big. And that was actually a good movie. But yeah, Johnny Depp got an Oscar nomination for that.
For waving his hands around like this while he talks.
Yeah.
That's all he really did.
Yeah, I could do that too. I can drink a half a bottle of rum and just do that too.
I know.
I did that last night.
You're in the Navy now. Arrgh.
I'm inclined to say more. I think that was a huge hit.
Yeah, let's say more.
It is less.
Mm.
Your first miss. Well. Okay, that was my tricky one. Here we go. The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2.
Close.
It's probably close. Yeah, it's over the entire run of the movie. It was big when it came out. Mockingjay Part 2.
You're only saying... he's just only saying the one movie, right?
Right, right.
Not the whole... I don't watch these movies.
You want to say less? Obviously... Oh, maybe... No. Maybe there was a bigger worldwide box office for it. I'm not... Again, this would just be a guess for me.
Yeah, this is another one where the book was popular, so the movie... already
has a built-in audience. Yeah.
So,
want to say more?
I think, yeah.
Okay, let's say more.
Okay, you're going more. The answer is less.
Mm.
Mockingjay Part 2 has earned less. Okay. Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
Terrible movie, but, again, built-in audience.
Mm-hmm.
I would say more, but I've been wrong
before. Yeah. I'm going to agree with you. I think it's more. I think Star Wars makes a lot of money no matter what they put out there.
Okay, so you're saying more. You've gone more three in a row, and
eventually
you've been wrong three in a row. It is less.
I feel like if we keep saying more, though, we'll get one right and win.
Yeah. That's okay. Called game theory.
Here we go. Shrek Forever After.
Well, there's no way we would have put this in here. Unless it's a trick question.
Mm-hmm.
It almost has to be more, right?
I would think so.
Why would you pick a movie?
We're starting to sound like a
ever after.
Starting to sound like a dead record here.
About Are you sure you want to go more times in a row?
Has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, at least if we miss four in a row saying more, or miss all of them in a row saying more, it'll at least be funny.
Okay, so you're saying more.
Yeah.
Your logic was fantastic. The only reason I would put Shrek Forever After in there is that it was more correct.
So we win.
You have topped your opponents. You have two more movies, though. Okay. Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted.
I have no reason to know this.
I believe this one domestically made the most out of the Madagascar franchise. That's all I have so far, but...
We're going to stay with our more answers.
There you go.
You correct.
For entertainment value, I guess, now.
Correct. The answer is more.
All right.
I am impressed.
Has to pay off.
Okay, your last one. The Incredibles.
Oh, we're going back to Pixar.
Tough one. But, I mean, it's Pixar, so I'm going to let Chris pick this one.
And you know what I'm going to say? More.
It is less. More.
Okay.
The Incredibles, just to be clear, I want to make sure that you guys realize the other connections that happened as a part of this, right? So Deadpool, I think it's like $650 million worldwide so far. It's way high, and it's getting higher every day. So for the record, Shrek Forever After and Madagascar 3 out-earned movies like Forrest Gump, Pirates of the Caribbean, Hunger Games, and Star Wars. Let that sink in for a second.
That's just PG. That's all it is.
You wonder why you're seeing so many of those kids' movies?
Yeah.
That's why.
That's why. They make money.
All right. Good job, guys. You guys did beat Amy and Scott there. Well done.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to jump into the main game here. The first category is a movie tri-bond. I want you to name the movie series that these three actors appear in together. Hugh Laurie, Gina Davis, Jonathan Lipnicki.
I'm locked in, Russ.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. I don't remember them being together. Gotta be a franchise. Man.
This might be the first time I've seen Russ really put his thinking cap on.
Wait a minute. Nope, I got it.
Oh.
And I have this because of my kids. Hugh Laurie and Gina Davis played husband and wife who adopted a mouse. Their son was played by Jonathan Lipnicki. The mouse was voiced by Michael J. Fox, I think. The name of the movie was Stuart Little.
So you're saying Stuart Little.
I'm going to say Stuart Little, yeah.
Chris, what did you write down?
I wrote down Stuart Little.
Yes, you did, because it's correct. I thought I had you, Russ. I thought I had you. I had the TV on the other day, and Stuart Little happened to come on, and I saw the dad, and I was like, is that Hugh Laurie? Oh my God. And that's what spawned me to write that question. Well, just enough.
I just had to think, what else I've seen Jonathan Lipnicki, and that was it. Literally it.
Wow. That was just enough off the mainstream to be challenging for you.
Yeah, that was great.
All right. Your next category is entertainers. Who is the only entertainer to have 5 stars on Hollywood's Walk of Fame, one in each of the 5 categories? And the 5 categories are film, TV, recording, radio, and theater. So there's one person that has 5 stars on the Walk of Fame for film, TV, recording, radio, and theater.
Yeah, I know I've heard this before. I'm not going to talk it out, though.
Yeah, I've never heard this before. Oh, that's a tough question. All right, I'm going to lock in.
I'm going to lock in.
All right, so who wants to go first?
I can go. I don't think mine's right.
Okay.
All right.
I went with Groucho Marx.
Groucho Marx. That's interesting. All right, Russ, what did you say?
I said Bob Hope.
Bob Hope.
I don't think it's right, but I remember something about Bob Hope.
So the correct answer in this case is one of my mother's favorites of all time.
Not and Bob Hope.
If I told you that he's better known as the singing cowboy, what would you say?
There's 2 guys. Gene Autry?
Gene Autry. Is the correct answer.
I'll never forget that again.
No. I bet you won't. That's a cool feat. For only one person to have ever done it, I was really impressed by that. Gene Autry. Okay, round 3. Your category is opera.
Seriously.
Chris, like, really?
Opera?
Yeah. You kidding me, right?
Okay. Oh, boy.
Who does Christine Daae, and that's D-A-A-E is how that's spelled. Who does Christine Daae believe is her angel of music? And angel of music is in quotes.
What?
Category is opera. Who does Christine Daae believe is her angel of music?
I don't even know if I understand the question.
I wrote down something. Russ, you can...
Oh, he's making you talk.
Literally have no idea. Opera, clearly not my bag. It may be a title character from an opera. And I'm just saying that Lohengrin, Aida. Okay, let's just get it out of the way. I don't know, so I'll say Aida.
Aida. Okay, Chris, what did you say?
I wrote down a name that I think is familiar with opera. I wrote down Charlotte Church.
Charlotte Church, okay. In this case, the answer was actually part of the category, or the category is part of the answer. It is the Phantom of the Opera.
Yep. Oh,
the
duh.
Phantom of the Opera was the Angel of Music.
Yeah. Okay.
And his name, for the record, his name was Eric. But I would have given you credit for Phantom of the Opera.
Interesting.
Does it make more sense now that you've heard the answer?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I thought it might.
I was thinking actual operas.
I told you, I brought the pain on this set of questions. This is my hardest set.
Brought the pain.
Okay, number 4, category is interesting people. What famed public figures met in June of 1997 and died within a week of each other in August of the same year?
I'm locked in.
Oh, already. Russ says he knows the answer. So, Chris, you're actually able to talk about it.
the first thing that came to my mind, which is not right because I can't remember any specifics about it, would be the soccer team that ate each other. I'm sure they played a lot longer than, you know, they probably knew each other longer than a month or so, or 2 months, whatever that is. I don't know if I'm going to come up with an answer on this one. I don't think it has anything to do with being NASA, the disaster there. I don't think I'm going to have an answer on this one. Yeah, I'm going to have to tap out. I don't know.
Okay. Chris says he doesn't have an answer. Russ, do you have an answer?
Well, I do have an answer. I'm not 100% sure it's right, but and I wasn't sure about the part where they met a week before, but I remember that Mother Teresa's death kind of stole some thunder, or the other way around. Princess Diana and Mother Teresa died around the same time, and so that's what I'm going to go with.
The correct answer is Mother Teresa and Princess Diana. Good job. 1997.
Yay. All right.
All right. After four rounds, Russ has taken a lead 20 to 10. Still a very tight game. The fifth round category is television. What TV show ended its run with the following words? Sorry, we're closed.
I'm locked in.
Okay. First thing that pops in my head is Cheers. I think that ended around 93 or so. I think I remember Sam Malone saying that to somebody. So I'm going to go with Cheers as my final answer.
All right, Russ, what did you say?
Yeah, that's it. Somebody comes to the door at the end of the episode and tries to come in. Sam says, sorry, we're closed. That's Cheers.
The correct answer is Cheers. Good job, guys. It's actually because you know it's the last episode when it happens. It's almost emotional for somebody to try and come in, and he's like, nope, sorry, we're closed. You're like, oh, they're closed. Okay, round six. The category is behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes, not behind the music.
Good.
Bad Robot is the name of what director's production company?
I'm locked in.
So fast. Bad Robot is the name of what director's production company?
All right, I've seen this before. Game of shows. What shows, though? I don't know.
Yeah. It would help to know the show.
Yeah, it would. Oh, man. My first guess is Joss Whedon. With Buffy and Angel and Firefly and Dollhouse. And I feel like I've seen it. I'm gonna go with my first instinct and say Joss Whedon.
Okay. Russ, what did you think?
All right. The first time I saw the Bad Robot logo come up was after episodes of Lost, directed by J.J. Abrams. So I'll say J.J. Abrams.
The correct answer in this case is J.J. Abrams. Good job.
Thank you.
Bad Robot. Yeah, I said. See, you said shows. I actually see it in the movies on the pre credits. Mm-hmm. It showed up like on Star Trek and on Star Wars.
Yep, exactly.
After six rounds, it is 40-20. Round seven category is science.
Science.
Oh, that was well done. Yes. Okay. An atom with a normal number of protons but different numbers of neutrons are called what?
All right, I'm going to lock in. It's definitely not right.
But so. You don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it or think about it anymore, so I'm in.
An atom with a normal number of protons but a different number of neutrons are called what? I should probably clarify. I don't think I wrote that very well. And, Russ, if this changes, then go ahead and change. Meaning there is a standard version of this atom, and then there's a version with a different number of neutrons. That's what I'm saying when I say a different number of neutrons.
Well, that changes everything. No, I believe I'll stick with my original answer.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't care how you word it. I don't think it's going to come. I'm going to go with unstable.
Unstable. All right. Russ, what did you think?
Well, I threw out the first thing that came into my head, and it may have come into my head more because it's the softball team on The Simpsons. But I said isotope.
Isotope. So when a normal element has a different number of neutrons, that is what spawns radioactivity in a lot of cases. Okay. And when you have that situation, that element is called an isotope.
Oh my God!
Oh. Chris is like, "Oh no, you can't get the ones right that you don't even know. That's not fair."
Yeah, whatever. I mean, what are you going to say?
For the record, what are you going to say? You just got four in a row correct. We're moving on to history, round eight. History. In what city was the excommunicated religious leader Savonarola executed?
Oh boy!
I don't know who this person is, so that doesn't help me at all.
I'm going to go ahead and lock in. I don't know the answer, but just going by some logic, I'll lock in.
What I'm trying to do is figure out what the derivation of her name is to try to figure out if there's a city I can come up with. Can you repeat the question, Jonathan?
I can. In what city was the excommunicated religious leader Savonarola executed?
It sounds like an Italian name. But when you say excommunicated, it means most likely she wasn't executed in the same country. But I've never heard of this person. I don't know if this happened 10 years ago or 100 years ago. I would lean more towards 100 since she was executed. But so I'm going to go with a religious city and say Jerusalem.
Okay. Russ, what are you thinking?
Yes. Well, here's how I reasoned it out. And I wasn't hearing that as a female. I was hearing it as Savonarola, like as one word. And I don't know if that's like a title or a person, but I was hearing Savonarola. And the way I reasoned this out was ends in a vowel, ends in an A. So I'm thinking Italian. B, religious leader and excommunicated usually goes with the Catholic Church. I'm not saying that's what it is, but that just led to my thought process. So I wrote down Rome, but it could be any number.
Okay. So we have Jerusalem versus Rome. Rush, your logic was pretty good. Savonarola is a single person, and it is a man, and that is his name. And he was excommunicated. Chris, I think you were thinking exiled.
Okay.
I've actually stood at the spot where he was executed. There's a plaque on the ground in the main square in Florence. Florence. He was a Florentine. This was during the Renaissance. This was 1490s. And so Florence was a major city of influence and power. Okay, so nobody gets credit for that one.
I feel good just getting the country right.
Okay, moving into round nine. The category is art. What painting by Jacques-Louis David is considered to be one of the most famous images of the French Revolution?
All right, so I wrote down something.
All right, I know a few paintings that he did. He was the one that did the painting of Socrates. Drinking the hemlock.
So great. Chris would love to hear you say that. I'm leaving that in.
But, man, I cannot think. And I know one other painting that he did, but I don't remember its content. I know this can't be right, but I'll say The Rape of the Sabine Women.
Okay. Chris, what did you say?
I had no clue who he was. And so I just wrote down Napoleon as maybe like a, you know, that was the name of a painting.
Gotcha.
I was an art major and I can't even remember this.
So. Oh, Russ.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
I lose some cred, but that was a long time ago.
No, I'm shaming you publicly right here.
Yeah, as you should.
Yeah. So this is a very famous painting of a person who's been murdered in their bathtub.
Oh.
The Death of Marat.
Marat, yes.
The death of Marat. Marat was a political leader who was part of the part of what was going to be the rebellion. Actually, he wasn't a leader. He was a writer, I think. He was a writer for the press, and he was murdered by the government.
Yep. And I was just thinking on a grander scale painting.
But yes.
One guy dead in a bathtub, that works too.
Powerful painting. It was. Yep. It triggered a lot of emotion for the French in that time. All right, and the last question, round 10. Category is literature. Here we go. This is a bit long, so you're going to probably want to write some things down in this question. I want you to give the name of the character who takes the following names during the course of a 19th century novel. The names he takes are English Chief Clerk, Lord Wilmore, Sinbad the Sailor, Abbé Busoni, Monsieur Zacconi, Number 34, and the Maltese. I will obviously read those again. And I should say, sometimes takes intentionally, sometimes given these names. English Chief Clerk, Lord Wilmore, Sinbad the Sailor, Abbé Busoni, Monsieur Zacconi, Number 34, and the Maltese. One character had all of these names and titles.
I'm going to lock in.
I don't know if I have anything for this. If you had mentioned a couple of names from an 80s movie called Fletch, I would have gotten it right away.
I have totally gotten it right, a Fletch trivia question. That's a great idea.
But the Maltese, I just don't know. Sounds like it's got some ties to India, maybe. But I'm trying to think of a character that was an impersonator of some kind. I'm going to throw out a huge guess. I know there was a movie, I think, about an imposter. I think. I never saw the movie, so I don't know. My back's against the wall right now, obviously, too. The Maltese is the only thing that comes to my head is the Maltese Falcon. And Sinbad, that was, I'm not talking about the bad comedian.
Sinbad's not a bad comedian. Sinbad's a good comedian.
Where's he at now?
He's sitting at home, retired on his money because he was such a good comedian.
Yeah.
I think if you smell funnel cake, Sinbad's not far behind.
My God. He's playing the local fairs.
That is good.
The number 34 just seems weird, too. I don't know what that is. It's going to be tough. I don't have a good answer, and this is the last question. I feel like I should have come up with something that's got some basis of knowledge behind it, but I really don't. I got nothing. I'm going to say the Great Santini, which I know is wrong, but I've got nothing else to go with.
Okay. Russ, it seems like you might have figured it out somewhere in there. What did you say the answer was?
Yeah, and when Chris said he thought he remembered it being a movie, that scared me. I thought he was going to walk into it.
When he said he started focusing on the number 34, I thought the number 34 was the most telling clue if you had to try and wiggle your way into it.
Right. I actually remember this from the movie more than the book because I'm not a big reader. But I do know that Dumas wrote this. It is The Count of Monte Cristo.
So, that's your answer?
That's what I'm saying. I'm locking that in.
And I'm giving you credit for it because that's another of his titles. The correct answer is Edmond Dantès or The Count of Monte Cristo.
Okay, yeah.
Edmond Dantès is the character's name. Okay. So, the reason that number 34 stands out there as a clue is that he was a prisoner in the movie and in the books, right? And
which is what I figured.
Yeah, that's where the number 34 came from.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Count of Monte Cristo. It is 60-20. Russ, you did another runaway on me. You're going to have to stop doing that.
I did not. Listen, if you had told me I'd missed 4 against Chris, there's no way I wouldn't expect that.
All right, so our final question category is geography. I want you to write down your wager and circle it in geography. Chris has his number written down. Russ, do you have yours written down?
I got mine written down.
Okay, geography. Put these countries in order from largest to smallest in terms of land area. Okay. So I have their square mileage. Your choices are Kazakhstan, India, Brazil, and Australia.
I'm locked in. Not necessarily right, but I'm locked in.
Kazakhstan's the one that I don't know at all how big it could be. The other ones I, you know, can picture in my head. Australia and India, I'm not sure which one is bigger. I think one is obvious, I think. But the rest is just going to be a guess. So I have Brazil as number one.
Okay.
Then from there, it's tough. Picturing Australia and India together, I feel like Australia might be a little bit bigger. So I put Australia 2. Then I threw Kazakhstan in as 3, because I thought you were trying to trick us a bit. And then I put India in as 4.
Okay, so you said Brazil, Australia, Kazakhstan, India.
Yes.
Okay. Russ, what did you say?
My answers couldn't be much more different. I said India for number 1, Kazakhstan for 2, Brazil for 3, and Australia for 4.
Oh, so you guys went from opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the correct answer, number 1, the largest with 8.35 million square miles, is Brazil.
You know what? I think I might have been thinking about population. Oh, well.
I did say square miles when I read the question. Yeah. Number 2, with 7.68 million square miles, is Australia. Then there's a big drop to number 3 at 2.97 million miles, India.
Ugh.
And then at 2.69 million miles, Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan looks really large on the map when you look at it, but it's not quite as big as India and not nearly as big as Brazil or Australia. So the correct order was Brazil, Australia, India, and Kazakhstan.
Nice.
Gentlemen, nobody got it right. So what did we wager?
I wagered all, obviously. 10.
Russ went 10. Chris went 20. So the final score, Russ with 50. Your lowest score yet, Russ.
Yeah, it's getting worse.
Well, and you're awake this time, too. This is later in the day. No excuse there. 50-0. So, Russ, you are moving on to the finals, and I get to tell you your opponent now. You're going on to the finals to face off against Scott Barber.
Wow.
Scott has had a very tough road to get where he is, and he got stronger as he went. So it will be Russ Friedewald versus Scott Barber in the finals, and that will be a full-length episode.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Good job, Russ.
Great job, gentlemen. Chris, it was great to have you, man.
This was no surprise. I knew Russ was going to beat me. I just wanted to make it somewhat interesting. And
that makes one of us.
I didn't
expect it at all.
All right. Well, great job, gentlemen. I appreciate you. And I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the show here. That's Chris, that's Russ, I'm Jonathan, and this has been Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Bye, guys. All right, don't root for the Red Sox. They don't need more fans. They need less.
But I lived down behind Fenway Park, so I could hear the cheering.
Oh, God, that's got to be sickening.
Oh, it was awesome.
Scott's like, that sounds magical.
That's so perfect.
Have you been?
Have I been to Fenway? No.
Of course.
Love it.
It's amazing.